I mean, just saying. We all have a job. And thank God there are Joes and there are Angelas. There are people who want to do stuff for the sake of the gospel. Gospel work, that's what we're here for. The very DNA of what this church has been to say, let's reach the world for Christ. So let's do that. And to send one of our own, what an honor. You say, well, you're not a member here, but I feel like y'all make me that way. And I mean, I almost voted earlier, just like, oh, wait, I can't vote. I said it under my breath, so it's kind of like the silent vote. But I'm super proud of the Kaczynskis and what God is doing here at Graham Road. Luke chapter number 10 is where I asked you to turn. Just checking to see who has a pen and paper and things with which to write. Look at you, Ryan, raising his hand, saying, I'm ready, Brother O'Malley. Nothing's going to stop me. All right. And I've got my amazing clock back there that I could see with or without glasses. Doesn't mean anything. It just says I can see it. Okay. All right. Kim sends her love. And I thank you for your support of our family. You make the difference in our home, and I appreciate it greatly. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Ryan, what do you think? Oh, maybe we should ask College Boy. He's home. Forgive me. I'm retracting my almost asked question for the college student who now sits in the back row where his family has never sat back there. They've always sat here, but it's fine. It's his choice. It is. He can be wrong anywhere he wants to be. Oh, Caleb, hey. What does it mean? You remember how this goes, right? Right, okay. Don't you want to be closer to me? It's okay. Your mom and dad are right there. Hey, buddy, right there. Take it like a man. There you go. I've missed you. We used to do this all the time. Your face is so red. Are you still with the same girl from the third year or the fourth year, or is it a different girl now? Same one? No, not at all. Whoopsie. I had no idea. I thought I would give you a hard time. Apparently, I just did. No, it's fine. It's fine. Caleb's my friend. It's okay. And behold, I'm coming to my question. We're going to be a long week this week, I feel it. But we're at Graham Road. And if you're a Graham Roader, then you know how this goes. We just we read slow, we talk long, and we try to learn stuff. And every once in a while, we spring someone loose and send them to the mission field. We just got our first. Caleb, you ready? Okay. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Next three words are your question. Did you learn about anything like this in the big college down the street? No. Okay. And tempted him. Now, first question. Oh, you're trying to define the term. We'll get there in time. How is this going to go for the lawyer? I'm sorry, I can't hear your head rattle, but your mother can probably. Can you hear his head rattle still? Yeah, probably. How did it go for him? It's not going to go well at all. Why? Can I help you? My soul. Yeah, bless his little heart. Precious darling. Okay, so who invented language? Thank you. Finally, I remember when you were cute and nice. God did. There is no language before God. The lawyer says, I'm going to tempt him. What does it mean to tempt him? Now's your question. Come on, bring it out, because Ryan's right here. He's ready to go. To get him to slip up. He wants to trip Jesus up in words. How's that going to go? Remember, there was no language before God. God invented language. And now he said, I'm going to use words to trip Jesus up. Nuh-uh. It's not going to work. But it is amusing. It makes me want to pop popcorn, pull up a chair and say, let's watch how this goes. I'm going to trip Jesus up in words. May I also remind you, in the beginning was the
Word.
Oh. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So lawyer guy is showing up to play lawyer ball with God. It's not going to go well, is it, Ryan? The next time Caleb gets stumped like that, it's okay for you to be his phone-a-friend and whisper and tell him what it is. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Caleb, good question or bad question? Is it okay for a lost person to say, what do I have to do to be saved? Is that good or bad? If you answer this wrong, I have set you up perfectly. It's a good question. Ah, but a good question with a bad motive is only frustration. What's a motive, Ryan? You thought, oh, it's Caleb's night. Brother John's going to leave me alone. Nuh-uh. Please say at least one more time in this sentence. I'm yearning for slow death.
A motive is something that propels you, something that makes you want to do something.
Yeah, it's your why. Why are you doing that? Why? What motivates you? What moves you? What makes you do that? Okay? So he's asking a good question. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Good question. What's his motive? I'm going to trip Jesus up. Jesus is never going to recover from this moment. This is why I'm popping popcorn. I'm watching this. Keep going. He said unto him, so who is he? Well, if the letters of your Bible changed colors, then you realize, okay, Jesus is speaking. But if the letters of your Bible didn't change colors, it's still Jesus speaking. You got that, Mark? Good. Jose Cook, huh? That was pretty funny. He said unto him, what? You say, well, are you going to get to preaching? Yes. I'm reading the Bible right now, and you all are the slowest readers that I know. He, Jesus, said unto him, the lawyer, what is written in the law? You say, oh, boy, that was rude. No, he's a lawyer. Shouldn't the lawyer know the law? You say, which law? Ah, Caleb, how many laws are there? Take your time. Ryan's right there. Michaela's there. She could help. 10.
Yeah.
You say 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just realized whose boy he was. I just got to look at his. Oh, my goodness. Wow. 10? Are you sure?
Yeah.
You are. We call them the 10 commandments.
Yeah.
Very true. What if I told you that there's another set of laws? How many of those, Mike Baldwin? There are ceremonial ones and there are moral ones. Put the two of them together. You divide the 613 into part ceremonial and part moral. And together they make the 613. So how many total are there? 613. Look at us, we're going strong. That's it. You can't pull much past Graham Road. 613 laws that are ceremonial and moral laws, plus the 10 that Caleb came up with. Okay. And he said, what's written in the law? He's a lawyer. Shouldn't he know what's written in the law? Well, of course he should. That's his field of expertise. Ask any of you your field of expertise, and you should be able to answer that question. Ask Jacob Cook, what do you put on ribs? He's going to tell you orange marmal made in Sunny D. Was it orange marmalade and Sunny D?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. So the lawyer is being asked by Jesus, no higher authority than the Lord, what is written in the law? Second question, how readest thou? Fair enough. If he's a lawyer, he should know. And he answering said, this is the lawyer speaking, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. I feel winded having read so much so fast and not taking my time, but here we are. Is the lawyer right, Caleb? Is that what the law says? So Jesus said, what is written in the law? Lawyer says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Is this accurate? Yes. But a good question with a bad motive is only frustration. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, take it down to the church level. You have somebody asking a good question, but their motive's bad. Pastor, I have a question. I just want to know about the toilet paper we're using here at the church. Why is it that we're spending so much on toilet paper? Okay, so what's the motive there? We're going to embarrass the pastor. We're going to say, well, whatever this is, and we buy this kind of toilet paper, and toilet paper prices have gone up because y'all hoarded it at COVID, and so now we're paying more for it, and whatever that is, and say, well, then I'd like to talk to you about the power bill, all this publicly, you know. What have we got? A fair question. Bad motive. Why? We want to embarrass the pastor. What is the lawyer doing? I'm going to embarrass Jesus. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. So, because remember what he said in 25, how did he address Jesus? Master, what shall I do? Good question. Bad motive. I'm going to trip Jesus up with words. And he answering, 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, Jesus, said unto him, how do I know that? My letters changed colors. Not live, they were printed this way. Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Huh. So, the lawyer said, what do I have to do? Jesus said, what's in the law? Lawyer quotes the law. Tells the guy, do that and you'll live. You'll have, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll nail it down. 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, now, can someone, well, justification, Brother Mike Baldwin, do you remember what that is? I know it's something we don't always use, but It's as in relation to salvation. All of our works are made pure by Christ. He does so by declaration. It's a legal declaration that you are now righteous. You say, well, nah, I know he's a wicked sinner. But if Christ declares you righteous, you're righteous. That's how it happens. So I never understood that. The declaration is you are now righteous. Why? Well, how do we get righteousness? By faith. I believe in what Christ did on the cross. Therefore, I accept his salvation. But here is this man who, Caleb, who can rightly justify themselves in God's eyes? Who can declare them? You're tracking me here. I'm giving you the answer. It's like 613, but a different word. Okay? So, who can legally justify themselves before God? But who of man can justify them? Only Jesus can justify. You're right. But work with me down the path here, okay? So, can I declare myself legally righteous in God's eyes? No, of course not. Nor can you. Ah, but now what does the lawyer want to do? I got to look right in front of God, because what did he do? He just went to trip up Jesus with words, and by trying to trip Jesus up with words, Christ used the law, and the man said, well, okay, well, if I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, let me focus on that. And not talk about what does it mean to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if you establish that motive, then there's nothing that you won't do for God. I know it's a double negative, but just work with me, okay? You'll do anything for God when everything is determined by I love him. Caden, he's being good. Raylan, just work with me here. Where's Dad? Oh, security. You're good. Do you love Papa? I know you do. You love Gigi? I know you do, buddy. You love your mama? I know you do. Ever since you got here, she's loved you and you love her. Do you love your daddy? Of course. How big is your heart, Caden? Do you know? I love that answer. Physically speaking, Caden, if you make a fist, you probably have never made a fist before in your life, but work with me here, like this, make that. That's about the physical size of your heart. Okay, so that's how big your heart is. And what is the Bible saying to us? That we're to love God with all our heart. Now, more than just the muscle, it's your first answer. And then, do you ever think of Papa when you're not with him? You ever think of Gigi when you're not with her? You ever think of Mama if you're not around her? You ever think of Daddy when you're not with him? God said, I want to be thought of all the time too. I want you to love me with everything that you have. All your heart. All your mind. Every thought. I want to be dedicated to me. I want you to think of me. So now we're talking about loving God with more than the capacity of just the physical heart, but the state of being of our lives. And he said, love me that much. Love me with all of your thoughts, then your soul. Well, that's a harder one to describe because it's quite abstract even for an adult to say, what is your soul? It's the essence of who you are. It is the part that when we say, when our deceased loved one is in a casket, we say, he's not there. Well, you look at his body and say, well, sure, it looks like he's there. But that's not really him. That's what we say. What's missing? The soul. That's gone. The spirit of life is gone. So that soul, the very innermost man, it's you without a body. Wow. That's who he said, love me with that. All of that. And strength. Caden, how strong are you? Show me your muscles. Great guns. That's it right there, buddy. And God said, now I want you to love me with all of your muscles, all of your strength. Well, the lawyer compared to that model has to say, well, let's work on the neighbor part. Who is my neighbor? Because if I asked you tonight, do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is there any here? Surely. There's a couple preachers in the room. Brand newly minted missionary, Brother Joe Kay. Do you love God with all your heart? The big one? Not the fist one? All your heart? All your soul? The essence of who you are? All your mind? All your strength? Do you love him like that? Strive to, but do you? No. Pastor Lovett, he's been a revenator for a long time, which is different than a revenuer, but we'll get to that. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, sir? No. All of it? Mark, I didn't hear what you were saying. I forgot my hearing aids in the room because the batteries were dead and I was too lazy to change them. But what did you just say? Yeah. Well, Mark, do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? No. Oh. Kayla? With socks like that, you have to answer no. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? No. All, everything. Well, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm going to give a testimony. I love God. I love everybody. I love the church. I love our missionaries. Okay. But do you genuinely love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? So that's why the lawyer said, now tell me who my neighbor is. But before I get to the 19 subpoints that I have, and I have to walk to church each night and walk back. Don't tell me about your drive. I walked. I want you to see, some of y'all are saying, he walked here? If you see that upper chamber there, I have to climb stairs to get there. I know, thank you. I want you to understand there are three undeniable imperatives. Caleb, what's an imperative?
Something that's a must.
Something you gotta do. Something that is a command. So, understand this. Number one, I must love God. Caleb, do you need a pen and paper to write things down? You do. That's why you were sitting in the back. I get it. It's fine. You're college. You can memorize everything now. That is to say that I have no passion more remarkable than my love for him. I ask you, church, tonight, we're starting on the quest of this missions conference. Is there anything that is more remarkable for your passion to say, I have no passion more remarkable than my love for him? Is there anything you love more than church? Is there anything you love more than the Bible? Is there anything more than you love hearing his word spoken and you obeying it? Is there anything you love more? The lawyer was exposed. He was more than vulnerable. He was exposed. Because the crowd knew that he loved himself. You say, well, how do you know he loved himself? He was trying to justify himself to Jesus. What a fool's errand. He wanted to trip Jesus up with words. The man did not love God with all his heart. He had passions that were more remarkable for other things than God. Number two, I want you to see this. We're still under this point. I must love God. The second thing I want you to see is this. I can have no motivation more significant than my love for God. I can have no motivation more significant than my love for God. Wow. Somebody took mercy on Caleb, handed him a pen and paper. Way to go, Ryan. Mom, Dad? Well, just Dad. Showing up. Helped his neighbor. Loved his neighbor as himself. Realized that his neighbor has been where he has been, where his neighbor has been. Taking all sorts of verbal recognition from Brother O'Malley. Number one, I have no passion more remarkable than my love for him. Number two, I have no motivation more significant than my love for God. If anything motivates you more than your love for God, then you're out of alignment to this divine imperative that is undeniable. Oh, I love God. I love my neighbor. I love everybody. Okay, but is your love for God so remarkable that anything else in your life looks like hatred? Number three, I need to have no inspiration greater than my love for Him. The first point would refer to your heart. The second point would refer to your soul. And this would refer to your mind. No inspiration greater than my love for Him. What inspires you? Oh, my job inspires me. Money inspires me. Travel inspires me. If your answer is anything but God, how in the world are you ready for this missions conference? This is where you and I check the divine imperatives, and I check my heart against this first one. I must love God. Heart, soul, mind. What's the last one, church? Strength. That means I must have no determination higher than my love for Him. No determination higher than my love for Him. Sunday. We're going to pass out faith promise cards. What do they reveal? Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. The divine imperative is I must love God at a factor far larger than I am doing right now. How do I know if somebody loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? There's no resistance to whatever God nudges. Preacher says, folks, we're going to have to take on a missionary here. We're going to have to dig deep. We're at the edge of our budget here. It's just going to be faith. We need you to dig deep and let's move forward in this area. So I just think that's reckless. I think it's dumb. Pastor, are we overspent in missions? Now, that's a fair question, but the ill motive. You sound like a lawyer. We got a lot of lawyers in churches. No license to practice, just a mouth. I never intended to say that. It was in my mind. But there's a lot of stuff that you should be thanking me for not saying. That one somehow slipped right out. But when I consider what Christ is doing, he is exposing this self-righteous person who genuinely doesn't know and does not love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm going with Jesus. Jesus would know that. And the man was trying to expose Jesus, and Jesus used the man's own words to expose him. The divine imperative says, I must love God. It's undeniable. Number two, here's the second undeniable priority. I must love my neighbor. I must love my neighbor. I must love my neighbor as much as I love myself. I could press in pretty hard here and ask you, do you know the names of your neighbors? Say, oh yeah, I know them. We suit them. I know the name. Do you know the names of your neighbors? But let me skip that one. And let me go to one that's deeper. Some of you may have had time to feed your family today. Some of you are waiting for me to get done to go feed your family. Trust me, I'm hurrying, but you're slow readers. You made sure your family ate. Did your neighbor eat today? You made sure your family got to church. Did you make sure your neighbor got there? You made sure your kids read their Bible. Does your neighbor have a Bible? I must understand my neighbor. I must befriend my neighbor. I must assist my neighbor. You made sure that your family got the gospel. Did you make sure your neighbor got the gospel? The undeniable imperative is I must love God and I must love my neighbor. Number three. Number one, I must love God. Number two, I must love my neighbor. Number three, the undeniable priority. I must choose God. 27, the lawyer is speaking. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, he's quoting. I'm not quite sure that God was his God. People whose God is the creator of heaven and earth generally don't try to justify themselves before God. Now, some independent Baptist church members might try to justify themselves to their preacher. Or they might try to justify themselves to others in the family. But when people genuinely love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they don't justify themselves. Number two, would they love their neighbor as themselves? The third one you have to understand is they must choose God. You say, well, what do you mean choose God? Well, the Hindus chose their God. Muslims chose their God. Sikhs chose their God. Buddhists chose their God. And Christians must choose their God. So, well, I'm not sitting in some closet worshiping some idol. I'm not burning incense to gods in the little idol closet I have in my house. No, probably not. But is there anything that in your life that gets a higher place than God? Because whatever that is, that's your idol. And you're going to have to choose, am I my own God or is he my God? Because once you choose God, you're done. That's it. So that means everything he wrote, everything he spoke, everything he declared, everything he testified, That's what you do. Well, I'm not feeling it. You don't have to feel it. You just got to do it. Why? You chose God. The undeniable imperatives are, I must love God, I must love my neighbor, and I must choose God. And when I choose God, that means I've chosen everything He says in His Word. The 613 moral and ceremonial laws, the Ten Commandments, as Declan reminded us of earlier, affirming Caleb in his efforts. And I really wanted to get to my message tonight, and these were just preliminary thoughts, because I really wanted to get to verse 29. And if the Lord doesn't return by tomorrow night, Lord willing, I'll start there. But there's this question, which comes from an ill-gotten motive, which says He's going to justify Himself, and He's going to ask this question, and who is my neighbor? But I can't get there until I ask you, does God believe you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, the preacher's pretty convinced. Didn't ask him. Didn't ask about him. I just simply asked, does God believe that you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because that lawyer is naked before God. God knows whether He loved him with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God knows if we do. So when it comes down to missions, it really comes down to three undeniable imperatives. Who is your God? And do you love your neighbor? And do you love God with everything you have? You know why I would come to an altar tonight? Is to say, God, help me to love you as I should. Sam, are you going to come to the piano tonight and play for us? Would you all stand and just find a place at the altar and just say, God, help me to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Help me to fulfill the undeniable imperatives. I must love my neighbor and I must choose you. Why don't you find a spot at this altar and say, God, not coming to brag before men, I'm coming to pour my heart out before you. I want to love you with everything that I'm supposed to, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Take time at the altar tonight, church. We don't get missions done unless your heart's right before God. There's no finding out who the neighbor is. There's no reaching neighbors. There's no story of the Good Samaritan unless you determine who's your God. Do you love your neighbor? And do you love God?